Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Wednesday, November the 12th, 2014, and our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us, and we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. We just barely made it here. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. Welcome, everybody. We are home. We're in Bristol, Tennessee. Just got here, as Jeannie said, we're lucky we made it. We are within about a minute and a half of the time frame, life on the road. But we're here. It's a little on the chilly side in Bristol. And getting ready to go down in the team, so we're ready to head to Florida as quickly as possible, but not right away. In any event, we're delighted that you're with us. We're just blessed to have this opportunity to share this space with each and every one of you that chooses to join us each and every day that you do choose to join us. And we get to deal with this whole process of how it is that we create our lives. And if things are not exactly going the way we'd like them to go, then how to change those dynamics and recreate our lives. Recreating them consciously out of the space of our human beingness becomes one of the keys to the process. So we're delighted you're with us. I'm looking out the window of our home here in Bristol, Tennessee at this absolutely beautiful, brilliant red tree. Just gorgeous. Still got a few places where we had color as we were driving down from Michigan. And in the last few days, we're here to bring forward this ancient understanding of how this process of creating our lives works and the integral connection with the process of forgiveness and living a conscious life. And when we speak of forgiveness, we're not talking about letting anybody off the hook for what they've done to us. We're talking about a responsible life where if one creates a result that they don't like, then they are able to recreate that result by removing the energy with which they have created the result that they're experiencing. One of the most common, the most common dynamics in our culture today, there's so much conversation around victimhood and being a victim and all those people who victimize those who get victimized. And, you know, there's an interesting piece of the puzzle that Job gives us from thousands of years ago. Job goes through this just hellish experience or series of experiences. And his final conclusion is, that which I feared most has come upon me. If my creative process has to do with what I fear, then I'm going to get to receive that which I fear. And as I was contemplating that, I was given a piece of guidance yesterday about fear and just contemplating that. And on the way in, Jeannie was looking up for me as I was driving some research, and there are two or three pieces of research where they've taken people and they've just videoed people walking down the street and had predators watch those videos and select who it was that they were going to attack. And in every case, they just, I mean, it was almost unanimous, the predators would pick the same people in this research project. And the psychologist, you know, the predators didn't say, well, I'm going to pick that guy because he's got, you know, this way he walks, or he does this, or he does that. But the psychologist attributed cause to all of the reasons why these particular people would be picked. And it was almost universal that the same people, if there were a dozen videos of a dozen different people, almost every predator picked the same person. And they repeatedly speak about how it was the physical this, the way they held their heads, the way they walked, the way, you know, whatever. And I would offer that, you know, we're back to the material gods world again, and everybody's looking for material cause in the material world so that we can pretend that the problem is outside of us. But in fact, fear is the energy that calls experience to us and then energetically gives permission for that experience to happen. Fear gives permission for the world to come and do to you whatever it is that you most are terrified will happen to you. And when masses of societies are brainwashed in the same thinking about how this terrible thing is going to happen, then masses of societies, through their fear, give permission for those things to happen. Program in fear of disease, you give permission for fear, for disease to manifest, to show up in your body. Set your mind up for fear of attack, and you send out a signal. And the closest possible predator is coming to dinner, is coming to take their share of the feast, because permission has been given. And so this fits into the creative process by recognizing that if I have fear, I'm going to tend to draw to me exactly that which I fear. Even if I pick, you know, the person who would seem most likely candidate to never do that behavior, if they hang around me often enough and long enough, my mind continuously giving them permission and instructions. You're supposed to do this. You're supposed to do this to me. You are supposed to do this to me. You better do this to me. You better do it. And of course, the mind that's sending out that permission isn't saying, you better do this. They're saying, you better not do that to me. You better not do that to me. You better not do that to me. If I say to you, don't think about the color of your car, what happens? The brain cells that fire are the color of your car. If we hold fear, we're giving permission to the closest person who's in resonance with what we're holding on to show up and do it to us again. And so what does this have to do with forgiveness? So what, Michael? So what is that? How is that supposed to help me except to make me more fearful? Well, you see, we have this tool. And the tool is about how you remove from your mind energies that don't belong there. So if you found that you've given permission for people to come and victimize you through your fear over and over and over again, then rather than forgiving all those people who victimized you and standing in the role of victim, see, I'm a victim and I'm afraid it's going to happen to me again. Permission, guess who's coming to dinner? Somebody's going to play it out with me. But when I understand forgiveness, instead of forgiving them for what they've done to me, I'll apply forgiveness to my fear. As I apply forgiveness to my fear, I will remove my fear. Now there's no permission left. Guess what? Every victimizer will look at my energy field and be repulsed. Oh, not going near that one. Don't want to have anything to do with that one. Nope, not going there, because there's no permission. Fear is permission for one who's capable of victimizing to do the behavior toward the so-called victim. So the conclusion is there are no innocent victims. They're only volunteers. and we volunteer by engaging in the mind energy of that which we would prefer not to have happen. It's interesting, if you go to the opening words in the book of John, where we're told it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. In Aramaic, that's not what it says. In Aramaic, what it says is, in the beginning was the mind energy, and the mind energy became flesh. If I have mind energy of fear, that mind energy communicates to everyone who's in resonance with it exactly what they have permission to do to me. And when I start cleaning that up, the game changes. So we're here to support everybody on the planet changing the game. What do you say we get rid of this whole game of victimizer and victimhood? What do you say we start to see who we really are, that we all started out in exactly the same innocence, the same inner sense, each and every one of us, and let's return to functioning as human beings rather than playing out that game of insanity that has become so popular on planet Earth. Would you care to join in that project? Well, that's what we're here for. And our call-in number is 646-200-4169. We'd be delighted to hear your voice with your questions, your thoughts, your ideas. How does that piece of information fit for you? And can we support you in forgiving whatever it is in your life that you use to keep giving permission to the world to come do it to you again and do it to you again? And so if you're on one of those stations where we can't see you, call in, push one on your phone, and that will raise a little hand in the phone queue. Jeannie will see that hand go up, and she'll introduce you. And we'd be delighted to hear from you. Jeannie, do we have Dr. Tim with us today?
We do, and he's on.
Well, hi there, young man. How do you be?
I'm doing well. Very, very well, thank you. I'm entering my third week of two mind shifter groups per week.
Awesome.
We had a mind shifter group last night in Woodstock. We had three brand new people who've never been there before. A total of 15 people plus me in the group. And they were a little shocked because we watched the first hour of the Mayan calendar video. So it wasn't the usual Dr. Michael Rice material, but after a while, I saw the heads nodding and on the same quotes that I hear, your voice coming through and your message coming through, people were smiling and turning to each other, and so there were connections being made, and the core of the message from that first hour of the video is consciousness. And how we become aware of, or what we focus on, is what we become aware of. And we create our own experience by our choice of what we focus on, which is very much in line with what you just said. So we did that, and we had a discussion, and then we had a very loving, brave soul choose to do a worksheet. And it was a very intense worksheet, lots of crying, lots of sobbing, lots of energy moving. And I've been trying to think about how to talk about this. As I was driving in today, I heard a poet on National Public Radio, and I reveled in the way that he crafted the words, and I wish he could have an experience like we have in our support group and then write about it from that poet's perspective. But my experience is beyond words in those groups. And you and Susan Darnell were talking about it yesterday, that the vitality in the room is additive, if not a multiplying factor. So when you have people who've decided to spend their time on a Tuesday evening driving to a church or a meeting room someplace and learning a new skill to improve the quality of their life and then lovingly supporting others in applying that tool to their lives, this is a room full of people who are vibrating at a very different level than most of the people you're walking by in the grocery store or most of the people that are sitting in a sports bar watching the television. and drinking beers and whatnot. This is a room full of people who are getting much, much closer to tapping into their true nature. And they shift their conscious awareness over to that true nature, as you were talking about. And when that happens, I don't have any words for it. Maybe there are words on the planet. But once again, when this person who was at least in his 30s was done processing an issue where there was a traumatic event that happened when he was 13 or 14 years old. And when he moved through the energy, and we're talking sobbing, crying, hands shaking, deep breaths, lots of tears, all kinds of images he processed and discussed, when he moved through that, in this relatively short period of time, we're talking maybe 25 minutes total from start to finish, he went from a 10 out of 10 level upset, because he was visibly shaking without the tears happening even before he started the worksheet, and he rated his upset level at 10 out of 10. He went from there down to a low 4. And by looking at him and seeing the smile on his face and the way his body began to relax, I would offer he probably was down to a 2 or a 1 by the time he left the room. And this is an energy he's been carrying probably for at least 15 years. And an energy which has been directly responsible for choices in his life that he has not been happy with. An energy that he's held on to, that he's used to generate thoughts which generated emotions like fear or being scared, dream degree. And in the application of this tool, with his willingness in the loving support of that room, he dropped out from a level of 10 out of 10 upset down to a level of 4 out of 10. And a smile on his face. And he was able to stay in that space of love that we connect with in step 4 of the worksheet. And so I don't know what else to say other than I feel lucky. And I get to do it again tomorrow night. So that's
pretty awesome. I think that's awesome. You're doing. Yeah.
Pretty amazing. I hear you loud and clear. It is just so, you know, our codependence intensive this last week was just so much deep, deep memory of trauma coming forward and just resolving on the spot, the space that that every one of these amazing people holds is just something else, isn't it?
Yeah, something else that goes right beyond words for me.
Yay. Well, are you seeing anything in the way of patterns today in your practice? Anything to share in that regard? Anything about that idea of fear being permission? Any thoughts in that direction?
Well, clearly coincidence that fear is the theme. I was doing worksheets last week on fear. I have an area in my life. And I was doing worksheets on Wednesday. And Thursday night, I talked about how I did a worksheet in the Thursday support group on fear. And so far, yesterday and today, Monday, yesterday and today, it's come up routinely. And one of the things that's difficult for people to understand when I first explain it to them, and I really like the way you started talking about it recently with the resonance and the piano strings and being an inanimate object, the piano strings resonate with the energy. If you strike a middle C tuning fork and hold it to a piano, it resonates the strings associated with middle C. But because it's an inanimate object, it just stays there and resonates the energy until it dissipates. However, because we are energetic beings and we're free to move around, when those energies of similarity hit us, we're actually attracted to it. So we resonate and we move toward that which has shared energy. And that's helped some people at least begin to get a sense of how, if I'm sitting here holding, I was talking to somebody about the Job example yesterday, the idea that when I sit here and I think about all those things that I fear having happen to me, I'm literally creating the energy of having them happen to me. And I had a 15-year-old in the office on Monday, and we were trying to talk about this, and he has a fear thing going. He has fear of being rejected at school and being made fun of because his girlfriend doesn't want to be his girlfriend anymore. And I told him, you know, one time I read a book by, I think it was an autobiography, but it might have just been a biography of Ben Franklin. And one of the favorite lines from that book was, I've experienced many horrible difficulties in my life, most of which have never happened. And I tried to get the 15-year-old to understand that this goes right in line with the ancient wisdom that says, a brave person only dies one death, whereas someone who's fearful dies 1,000 deaths. And he didn't quite get it, so I said, well, look, how much upset, how much time have you spent in sadness and fear since Thursday thinking about going to school today, Monday? And he said, well, yeah, I cried for 25 minutes on Thursday, and Saturday I didn't want to leave the house, and Sunday I was doing okay in the morning, but then I thought I had to go to school Monday, and I started to get down again. And okay, so you went through all of this as though it was going to happen, that people were going to make fun of you and your friends were going to reject you. And yet what happened when you went to school? Well, nobody said anything and it was just fine. So it never really happened anywhere but inside your own head, and yet you've been through the pain of having your friends reject you, and the light bulb went off and he finally got it. So I just add to what you were saying about the example from Job, I just try to add a little bit more explicitly the idea that when Job says, what I have feared most has come upon me, there's a way to look at that that says, oh, wait a minute, I actually helped bring this on me because I sat here in the energy of fear. And my mind energy is a creative force. And if I wake up to that and I realize that that's true, I can learn to train myself to choose different mind energy. And while that will not instantly change the events outside of me, it will instantly change my experience of my life in the moment when I choose to shift the focus of my conscious awareness. And if I choose to shift the focus of my conscious awareness to love and acceptance, my experience of my life becomes more loving and accepting. And that's my offering for today.
Cool. Well, I would add a little bit of an addendum, and I think we are always directly affecting what's happening in our world with what we do in our minds, because our thoughts, our mind energy is an actual energy, and it is what sets motion toward us. It is what gives permission to the world to do to it what it does. And, you know, if the only permission we give is aliveness, joy, abundance, then the things that are attracted to us are aliveness, joy, and abundance. And if it's fear and terror and trauma, then those outside influences of fear, you know, the harbingers of fear and terror and trauma will tend to move toward us. So it's always this creative process of becoming more and more conscious that we are more powerful than we ever imagined.
Agreed, and you talk about it at other times. You say, and they ask Yeshua, so how will we know? And he says, by their fruits. So I may think I'm being very loving, and I may think I've dismantled all my fear, but I keep getting faced with situations to which I respond with fear, and so there's the evidence. I don't see the fear directly, or I don't see where I'm holding all this negative energy in me, but I don't get to see the wind either. But if I look out the window and I see the trees moving, I say, oh, there must be wind. So if I'm continually running into situations in my life for which my automatic response is fear, then if I keep looking outside myself, I'm looking at the effects, I'm not looking at cause. If I turn inside and say, wow, I must have more work to do, then I can begin to build a different set of beliefs or generators of positive mind energy, which will eventually, they have to reflect differently in the outside world. So I'm in complete agreement.
Well, it also applies, when you use that example in a similar way to what Yeshua used, when he tried to explain to them that there was a helper inside of us that would support us and carry us through the difficult times. And the name of that helper was Ruka Dekudsha in Aramaic, and the Pharisee that he's speaking to, or the temple elder that he's speaking to, kind of goes, huh, what are you talking about? I don't know anything about that. And Yeshua's shocked. He's like, you, an elder of the temple, don't know this? And then he gives him the example of the wind, one of the elemental forces that they do know and understand, and says, you know, you know the wind came from somewhere. You can look out there and see the tree moving. And so it is with this elemental force that is also there to support us and assist us. And as we are willing to be assisted, you know, one can't rely and count on their intimidation and their fear and their anger in moments of distress and pretend that they've got a relationship with love, because the two are incompatible. We always turn to our gods when we're in stress. And so if we're in stress and the mind automatically turns, you can easily see which force will trust by what they turn to when their stress is up. Do they really turn to love, or do they turn to their hostility and fear-based minds? And then that there is that elemental force, much similar to the wind, that will simply remove those things that we're willing to have removed that are based in hostility and fear. Of course, only to the degree that we're willing to have them removed. So it's powerful on both sides of the equation, for sure.
Well, that other piece you were just saying about, they're only going to be removed according to my willingness to have them removed. The more I've been reading lately, I've been reading in Way of Mastery, Course in Miracles, and Vasistha's Yogas. And these similarities are, they're bouncing my brain against my skull. It's amazing. And they all say the same thing. And then in the video last night, Ian said the same thing. He said, this one law in the universe is that what you pay attention to is what you become conscious of. And so, what you become aware of. And so, he said, the next thing he said was, and you've heard about this thing they call free will. This is the only actual use of your free will, is your choice about what to pay attention to. And all three of these writings or teachings I mentioned say the very same thing. You can stay stuck in your anger and your fear and your misery as long as you want. And the Creator, the creative life force, the Holy Spirit, Yeshua, whatever you want to call it, will wait. More patiently than patience itself, they will wait. And, of course, whenever you're ready, in the twinkling of an eye, it can be undone.
Right.
And it's your choice and your willingness.
For sure. And to recognize that when we ask that power to lift something from us, we need to be willing to have it lifted. We can't say, well,
Well, wait a minute. I want to keep it in reserve for when Charlie comes over because, you know, I feel like that's the only thing that protects me from Charlie. It's like, well, okay, then you get to keep it. If you need to hold on to it for Charlie, I love the line in the lesson from the Course in Miracles, What is the World? The line that says, the world is false perception. It is born of error. It will remain no longer than the thought that gave it birth is cherished. And if we cherish our defenses and our anger and our hostility and our ability to manipulate and all those things, we can't say, oh, you know, I don't like those things when they're used against me. I think I'll let them go and ask that power to let them go, but keep them in reserve for somebody else. You know, it's just you have to be willing to really, truly let it go. And that willingness is a learned process. It takes time to engage in, for sure. Let's check with Deanie and see if we have anybody with a hand up in the phone queue with a question for us. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Or is there anything happening in the chat room, sweetie, that we should be aware of?
The chat room, we're talking about the fear and was mentioning, you know, perfect love casts out fear. But we do have a hand up. Area code 541, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Julie. I like what you're saying today, and I wanted to add with the work I've been doing on my childhood, absorption of dysfunctional energies in my family. And basically I wanted to say that I'm noticing how I would immediately, when being punished or being disturbed by my parents' energies, I would immediately go into coping mechanism functions. And I'm noticing a wide array of those. And what I'm learning is that I have been using the work of Yeshua and Michael Rice and awareness and learning of all these things for the last almost 4 years now. I've mainly been using it as a coping mechanism to just get myself to the point where I could feel good again, feel good about myself and somehow go back out into the world and take it on in ways that, you know, and I used the Course in Miracles that way too. I would just read it till I got back to the realities that fed my mind and made me, helped me to feel better. So now I'm ready to do the real work. I'm feeling a lot of trembling as I say that, but you know, there's just no turning back. And the real work for me is to feel everything that transpired through the years growing up that led to my parents' divorce and all the aftermath too. And right. I have not felt ready for a long time, but I feel because of also what you said, Michael Rice, about the Holy Spirit is there, and it really helps. And I guess I had to go through a period of being really confident that I wasn't alone and that I could get through this.
Breathe.
So,
breathe your faith.
Okay.
There's a community all over the planet is holding a space just for you right now. And know that we're here to support you, and it's safe to delve into all of that energy. And just remember to do a love exchange with you. Remember when you were at the intensive, you learned the love exchange process.
Mm-hmm.
So step your mind into that condition of love. And as each of those layers surface, one, those layers, when they happened, were very painful. The reason they were painful is because they were energies that didn't belong in your structure. So when they would hit your structure would say, ouch. Because our culture supported us and didn't teach us the power of continuing to breathe, we held our breath and held the energy and tissue. So it seems like when you touch back into that, that memory of pain is pain. And my offering would be that it is a memory of pain
And as you get safe enough to just allow yourself to breathe and drop down into it layer by layer by layer, as you breathe into it, you can peel those layers off and let them go and simply be free of it. Those dynamics with your parents can't put you in your room anymore unless you choose to go to your room and punish yourself, carrying out their dynamics. But they're not here. They can't hurt you anymore. The only thing you can do is either continue to hurt yourself with them, or you can open them and go, oh, here's another layer. Here's another layer. I think I'll breathe. Here's another layer. And I think I'll breathe some more with another layer. And then what will happen, there'll come a point where miraculously you'll touch into another of your human attributes, and that is the attribute of compassion. And you'll be able to look in mom's eyes, who did such crazy things, and you'll be able to see through her pain to her being. And out of your compassion, you will open a space for mom to heal those dynamics. Mm. And as you do, it will take you into a whole other level of energetic healing with yourself. And then as you turn to dad and bring that human attribute of compassion forward for dad, recognizing, you know, Longfellow, the poet, says, if we could but read the secret history of the person we call enemy, there would be enough compassion to disarm all hostility.
Yeah.
And so as you allow the true human attribute of compassion that is present in you now, that you can call on and bring forward, it will displace, it will support you in forgiving, it will melt those painful experiences that came from the not knowing of your parents and the trauma that they'd been through.
Mm-hmm. I did have compassion throughout my life at various stages. However, it wasn't really anchored into me. It was more about conceptually, you know, another coping mechanism of how they were, you know.
Right.
So now I get to really have that inside me.
Yeah. One of the attributes of human life, the worksheet process is specifically about bringing human life, the active presence of love, into the mind when it's in a traumatic situation. If you go down to step 6C, that particular step is about bringing in compassion. And the more we allow ourselves to be flooded with those things, the more the pain that we have locked ourselves into will dissolve and disappear, and the more liberty we will have from those dynamics.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm
ready.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you for listening.
Well, you have our support.
Thank you.
All right.
Yes, and I'm very grateful. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
All right. Glad to have you on our team. Glad to be on yours. And I breathe with you, Julie. I know you've been through a lot. And we hold the space for the next layer to peel off.
Thank you. Yep. I'll do love exchange and breathe. And
with every one of those dynamics. You know, go into that worksheet. Doing a love exchange with mom, if it's a worksheet on mom. Doing a love exchange with dad, if it's about dad. And just melting off all of the old energy that you carry. Remember that what we carry and we keep hidden from the active presence of love, the ancient way they said that was to try to keep things hidden from God, then we can hold on to those things. As we willingly bring them forward to the active presence of love, the active presence of love automatically dissolves them because they're not true. we're allowed to hold them as our truth and beat ourselves up with them. But when you expose them truly to the mind of the active presence of love, whatever's not true simply begins to dissolve. So you're right on track, and we hold the space.
Okay, good. Good, good.
All right, blessing. Thank you.
All right, definitely. You too. Thanks.
By the way, if you get a chance, say hi to Julia for us. I know that she's probably deeper in challenges than the last time that we saw her, but happy to see her. And Jamie, do we have anything else happening in the chat room or anybody else with a hand up in the phone queue?
No. So 646-200-4169 and press 1. There's several people on the switchboard, so if you press 1, you'll be first in line without waiting. And we're just chatting along the same topics in the chat room. Actually, some of the conversation was even about dreams and how some of our fears show up in our dreams. And you and I had talked about that yesterday when we were texting a certain young lady, and that the veil is actually open in dream time, but that dreams come from the same space as our waking realities.
For sure. And, you know, oftentimes what the mind will do, and it's back to understanding that subtle form of denial, they'll say, I'm afraid because I saw that scary face. And it's like, no, actually, I have fear and I'm hanging it on that face, which is just a face. And with my fear, I make the face scary. I'm the one who has the power to do that. You know, the culture, and it's interesting how word meanings tend to change. And the word crone in this culture has kind of come to mean some, you know, old witchy woman or something. But originally it was the elder female wisdom person was the crone. It was a compliment call an older woman a crone, that she was the one who had that power to embrace and that power of wisdom that that time and doing one's work brings. And so people look at the crone, or the, you know, what's traditionally looked at as the witchy female face, and oh, scary. But in fact, the crone was the one who supported life and had wisdom and brought forward the space of healing for people. So if I put my fear on something, oh, I'm afraid when I see that object. Well, I'm not afraid when I see that object. If I have fear in me, I'm afraid all the time. But I may be able to hide my fear from myself until that object shows up, then my fear comes up. And by saying I have a fear about that object, what I'm doing is that I'm denying my fear and saying that my fear is about the object. And when I deny my fear, I dissociate from the root of my fear. And so now I'm cut off from healing the root of my fear. When I recognize, wow, that object, when I look at it, really brings up fear in me. When I dream about this, wow, there's terror in me. Then I can more directly access my fear and my terror. I can breathe, and I can forgive that energy rather than have it control me. But the minute that I talk about how, even in the most subtle ways, yeah, that really scared me, I'm cut off from the root of my fear. I'm dissociated from the root of my fear, and therefore I don't have the power to heal my fear. When I get reconnected to love, and I own, I have fear that comes up when I think of that. Now I'm a step closer to going, I have fear, not that frightens me. Power, the locus of control moves from the outside to the inside when you start speaking responsibly. And it's an awesome gift to give yourself. Because once you come back into direct relationship with your fear or whatever it is, it may seem really deep and terrifying, but when you're in direct relationship with it and you remember who you are as love and you bring love forward into that space, then those energies simply begin to dissolve and disappear. Now, in all the years I've done this work, it's become so clear to me And I started to really understand this probably some 22, maybe 24 years ago as I looked over the previous years of doing this work and realizing that the trick of healing is twofold. Can I bring love active and present in the space? And then, when love is active and present, can I bring something in my mind out of hiding that's based in some form of hostility or fear? When those two things meet, my hostility and fear and the active presence of love meet, then the hostility and fear must yield. It begins to dissolve. It begins to give way until, and I can tell you 1,000 stories of people with great trepidation and terror in their minds, what seemed to be trepidation and terror about that. When they stopped making it about that and realized and owned that it was theirs, then their trepidation and terror simply began to dissolve. Liberty. Liberated from what never belonged in a human system. And our human energy system is designed to function plugged into love. That's the power supply that makes it work. Without it, it doesn't work very well. And just take a look around at the world and notice the people who are connected to fear and the people who choose to connect to love and how well life works. It just makes a big difference. So 646-200-4169, and it looks like we've got about 10 minutes or so left, so we've got room for a question or two. And if you have a question for us, we would love to hear it. There are no minute questions, there are no small questions. Every question is important. And if you're new at this, and it seems like oftentimes I'll hear from people, well, you know, my question just seems so silly, so nothing. But actually, those questions can oftentimes be some of the most important questions. And so we really strongly urge and invite you to ask them. And, you know, if you feel like your voice might be a little shaky for being on the radio, just take a breath and let go. Then let your voice be shaky. If you just cancel your need for your voice to be steady and allow your voice to be shaky if it is, that'll be perfectly fine. And your question will flow into the airwaves and we'll get to hear it and see what we can do to support you. So if you have a question and you're on the phone queue, you just push one, a little hand goes up. Jeannie will introduce you. We'd love to hear your question. Jeannie, do we have anything happening?
No, we don't. It's really quiet on the home front.
Okay. Well, let's go back to that idea of Job.
Oh, we just had a hand go up.
Oh, great. Okay, cool.
765, you're on the air.
Hi there. Michael, Jeannie, this is Sunny.
Hey there, young lady. How are you today?
A little different. hopefully my enunciation is good. I just came back from the dentist, and with some of the experiences through the dental procedures and the mercury and all of that, I had a question about, like, the actuality and reality precepts of doing the worksheets. Like, what
right.
I perceive, having the extreme stuff done before having all of that removed, there was a long bout of pain and correction and vibratory rate change, all of that, by which my bite was never corrected. So then it put me, dealt with some TMJ issues and so on. Well, today, this other dentist locally has made some attempts to correct it. And I noticed some things were coming up for me about maybe the fear of being in all of that pain again for all of the reverse cellular memory, trauma, you know what I'm saying? Because it's a lot more extreme than one might think. And is that something like in the actuality, like people get in car accidents and so on, and you have experiences like that, you know, where our innate or natural nature of our being is changed or altered, how do we do a worksheet on that kind of thing? Am I making sense?
Well, if I'm hearing you correctly, the worksheet would look like, you know, having mercury in your mouth and the pain that you went through. So the worksheet might be, the object of attention might be your dentist as a kid. And the situation might be, he unknowingly filled my mouth with mercury. And your feeling might be anger. The thought might be helplessness. Gee, I didn't know any better. There was nothing I knew to do about it. The goal would be for the dentist to have had the knowledge to be able to really support you in your health. And the canceling of that goal, I cancel my need for the dentist to support me in my health, would be what the core of the forgiveness piece would look like. And collapse that whole thing about the dentist and look at what's the underlying energy. So that would be a direction it could go. There are many different directions it could go, but that was
right.
One example of it. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, and I don't know if I can. I get mad about having a body, Michael.
Yeah. So then, number one is yourself.
I get rudely interrupted by
this thing. Slow down. So that in number one A would be your own name, and I feel, you know, acknowledge myself as love. I feel anger, and my mind makes my anger about having a body. What do I want? What's your goal there?
To be at peace in the body.
Okay. So then that would be number three. Take that down to number five. Set love in your mind in number four. And then number five, cancel the need to be at peace in the body. And see what processes, see what comes up, see what pops for you to look at and move through. Until you clean up all those layers. And then notice that your daughter has some of the same disturbance about being in a body, and that ends up creating conflict between the two of you. And so maybe that would be a point of commonality where you could both work together on worksheet around that issue and see what opens. You might just find that there's some powerful mutual support for each of you in that one.
That's. There's some tears here I'm breathing through, Michael, and seriously, you're subtle and brief. I have to thank you and Jeannie and the crew, everybody, because the radio show, the worksheets make it okay to be who you really are and be in a body.
it's an awesome gift, you know? Here we are, we've been put in the Garden of Eden. We pooped in the garden, and we say the garden stinks. And it's only our own that we're smelling. So we start to clean it up, the game changes. I would suggest a mind shifter, too. So if you've got your pen handy, up the mind shifter.
Let me grab a pen here. Okie doke.
So the mind shifter I'd offer would be, it's safe and healing, and I just cherish my experience of getting to live in a body. Are you breathing?
Uh-huh.
Good. Did you get that?
Yeah. I'm still writing, but I got it, yes. Thank you.
Cool. For those who are new to the show, who don't know what a mind shifter is, if that mind shifter clicks for you, the way that we use that mind shifter tool is we use it as a catalyst to dump the mind's content around a given issue. Because the mind works by resonance, now if I say don't think about the color of your car, the brain cells in fire are about the color of your car. It's just a pure resonance thing. So that mind shifter, it's safe and healing, and I simply cherish being in a body, would tend to start the whole file, in this case, on not wanting to be in a body. It would tend to resonate that whole file, and if you keep writing it, you split a piece of paper, you draw a line down the middle, right? The mind shifter on the left side, and then everything that comes up on the right side. So what might come up from what was just said was it might look like when I write, it's safe and healing for me, and I just cherish being in a body. What might come up is, that's crazy. I hate being here. It's safe and healing. So that would be the first thought. We're like, okay, so now I'm going to do worksheets around my hatred. I rewrite the mind shifter again. It's safe and healing, and I simply cherish being in a body. Why, that's ridiculous. I've never liked being here. It's always been too painful. And then besides that, I can remember watching all these other people around me in pain, and nobody seemed to be happy being here. Safe and healing for me. So you write the mind shifter, and then you know, create a space of at least 2 hours where you're writing that, and just let your mind just dump out whatever it's got about that issue. And as you see what it's holding about that issue, you can then start to drop into the deeper, using the deeper tools for accessing and cleaning up those particular issues. So let's say the one about hate would be a worksheet on hatred. The one around seeing people in pain would be a worksheet around people in pain. And so as you go through the whole structure of the mind and remove its hostility and fear-based content, then all of a sudden the active presence of love, human life, shows up, and the whole game becomes a different game. And it's such an awesome, delightful game. You know, just the fact that we actually get to experience, you know, I don't know what other life forms there are or are not here, but here we are on this little speck of a planet out in the Milky Way galaxy, and all of the conditions have been set up. So we have the warmth of sunshine. We have, you know, I'm looking out the window right now, the front window of the house here at this absolutely beautiful, bright red tree. Its leaves just getting ready to shed, but it's so gorgeous. I get to look at that and just drink in that color through my energy field, and it's just such a delight to be in paradise. But of course, if we hold other realities in our minds, it sure doesn't look like paradise. But as I learn the tools, I can get to return to paradise wherever I am, and that's the whole idea of using all of the tools that we teach. And we're down to just the last minute or two, so I'm going to take a minute to just close the show out and say thank you, each and every one of you, for being with us. And you know that we're in Bristol, Tennessee. It's kind of an unusual place we're going to be speaking. There's a medical doctor named Dr. Jim Shrinker here in Bristol who's sponsoring our workshops, and his offices aren't large enough to really do the workshops. So directly across from his office, there's a Kroger store that has a meeting space in it. So we're going to be doing next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night, we're going to be doing Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Healing Through Relationships and Codependence to Interdependence, the free open workshops. Anybody who'd like to join us, we'd be delighted for you to come and be here. And you can go to our website and click on the flyer so that you've got the details where that is. Actually, there's only one Kroger store in. It's a grocery store in Bristol, so we'll be in their meeting space. And then once we finish here, after Thanksgiving, we'll be heading in November 30th. We'll start at Unity in Wilmington, North Carolina. We're going to get to hang out with Susan Darnell, and Monday night we're going to do a Still Point Breathing session with her Laws of Living class, and then we'll be doing a full week of workshops at Unity in Wilmington. We'll be doing a second Sunday service at the same location that week or the next week. And then we'll be heading off to Panama City, Florida. So our schedule is going to take us down that way. We'll be in Panama City, and then we just start our tour of Florida. All the details are in our on our website, whyagain.org. Just click on the schedule and create the best year you have of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give. Bring a stranger to the show, and more blessings. Bye-bye.